This is Jerry Bingham, host of Hush Loudly on WGN Plus.
I say that rest is the new success. That's what I say. We have to redefine success and what it really means. Hi, this is Lisa Hurley, author of Space to Exhale, and you're listening to Hush Loudly on WGN.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Hush Loudly, where we have another amazing guest. She is amazing in so many ways and such an inspiration and motivator of many, which I don't even know if she realizes. But I know I'm always inspired when I see her posts and I see her face. And so I am happy to bring her to Hush Loudly. I'm going to introduce her first with a little bio. Lisa Hurley is a 3-time Anthem Award-winning activist, writer, podcaster, and community builder. Her work centers Black women and converges at the nexus of self-care, community care, joy, and rest. Hurley is the author of Space to Exhale, a handbook for curating a soft, centered, serene life, a transformational book created to help people beat burnout, embrace rest, and curate a soft, fulfilling life. Part memoir, part manifesto, part meditation guide, Space to Exhale is a self-help manual that inspires us all to remove our superhero capes. I can't wait to talk about that part. Put our masks on first and create lasting life-work balance. Lisa is also the founder of The Great Exhale, a serene virtual community focused on sisterhood and soft living, where Black women can relax, lay their burdens down, and exhale. Lisa is an executive member of the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences, a board member of YouVoice, and a juror for the Anthem Awards. A respected figure, she has been honored as one of the top 20 entrepreneurs to follow on LinkedIn, voted as one of LinkedIn's top Black 50 creators, and recognized as one of the top 10 anti-discrimination activists in the world. In addition, Lisa has been honored by Hush Loudly as an introvert to watch. She's a game changer. And as one of PocStock's Future of Black America top 50 leaders. As a result of her activism, her words have been quoted in Forbes, Entrepreneur, Sweet July, Ad Week, and more. With a passion for speaking out that belies her natural introversion, Lisa is a prolific podcaster. She is the founder and host of the Space to Exhale podcast, the co-founder and co-host of the Introvert Sisters podcast, and a former co-host of the Tea on Tap podcast, a hair and beauty show for women with textured tresses. In addition, Lisa was one of the hosts of Real Talk on Racism, a public affairs TV show that amplified the issues and voices of people of color. Lisa, a founding member of the Book Academy, is also a graduate of the University of the West Indies with a bachelor's degree in linguistics and foreign languages and of New York University with a master's degree in music business. With a strong belief in good vibes, Lisa is a Reiki master who is known for her inspiring affirmations on TikTok. In her free time, she enjoys bonding with her family, hanging out with her adopted fur baby, reading a good book, and expressing her creativity through fashion. Of Caribbean heritage, Barbados, Trinidad, and Jamaica, Lisa is a world traveler with an understandable preference for warmer climes. Her love languages are sunshine, laughter, and naps. Lisa Hurley, welcome to Hush Loudly.
Thank you so much. It's very weird hearing one's full bio. You know, like you write it, but to hear it read out is like...
Weird. Sounds good, right? Right? You got a lot going on.
You don't recognize yourself.
Well, Lisa, I want to start with asking about the introversion. So I'm not going to ask you if you are an introvert. I already know that you are, especially from your Introvert mm-hmm. Sisters podcast, where you've had me on as a guest before. Thank you again for that. But I do want to ask you, how did you know or when did you know that you were an introvert or different in our society, which seems to celebrate and reward our opposite friends, the extroverts? But how did you know or when did you know?
Well, first of all, I definitely want to say before I start, thank you so much for having me as a guest. because this is, it's awesome that we get to, you know, share some space together. How did I know and when? It actually became clearer to me once I moved from Barbados to the United States. Mm-hmm. And I started getting, you know, for my annual reviews, I started getting comments about, you know, like there were no complaints about the work. You know, the work was always excellent. Performance was always excellent from that perspective. Mm-hmm. But I would get comments and feedback about basically about my personality, that I, you know, was too quiet, did not speak up enough, and so on and so forth. So that was some external feedback that helped me realize, but also, you know, gradually coming to the realization that I just prefer quiet. You know, too much noise exhausts me. Being around too many people for too long of a time exhausts me. And I did initially think that I was, you know, maybe I'm weird, especially because this society here is so extroversion oriented. So I started doing some research on it, right? And, you know, I was like, okay, why am I feeling like I don't fit in? And, you know, why is the way I am such an issue for my employers? So I started doing research several years ago and realized, oh, this is what it is. I am introverted. And I never met a personality test that I don't like. So I take as many as possible. So I did the Myers-Briggs test several years ago. And then, like, every couple of years, I would take it again. And every time, I came out as INFJ, introverted.
Mm-hmm. Many of us share that same story where we may have found out, for me in my 20s, same thing, where I was hearing this mm-hmm. feedback from someone in a job. Your work is excellent. Oh, my God, you're amazing. But we want to hear more from you. We want you to hang out more. We want this and that. And I thought that was so odd. And then I was introduced mm-hmm. to the Myers-Briggs later on. So, but here we are today, big mm-hmm. advocates for introversion. And so I also want to know, since we're talking about it, you and your sister Sharon have leaned into it. And when you created your podcast, but why did you decide to create that? You know, you didn't have to, but what was it that drove you to do that?
Both of us have a bent towards activism. Mm-hmm. And towards, although we are introverts, both of us have a bent also towards speaking out, right? Mm-hmm. And we kind of like got tired. We were tired of being asked to essentially change our personality and change who we are and realize, you know, if we feel this way, there must be a lot of other people who feel this way as well. And in addition, a lot of people who look like us. I have a suspicion, I don't have, unfortunately, any data to back this up, but I have a suspicion that when people in general think of introverts, you know, two black women from Barbados, that's not the image that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. So we also mm-hmm. wanted to, yeah, like expand the definition, the default definition of what an introvert, quote unquote, looks like. You know, and so, yeah, that's why we decided to do it, just to make other people who might be introverted and who might also have other intersecting marginalized identities mm-hmm. feel more comfortable, more welcome, more accepted, and frankly, less weird, feel more like they belong, like they have a community.
I love that. And I think all of us in the introvert space are doing that and trying to normalize it mm-hmm. and move the needle. I think we're making a difference.
Impact. Yeah, I think so too.
And has your introversion, have you seen, I mean, as you age, where your introversion has worked for you or against you? And if for you, which I'm assuming that would be your response, what might be your best attribute?
Wow. I think it is a combination of introversion and autism, which is that and ADHD for that matter. Mm-hmm. But I love quiet. The beauty of quiet is it can become a container or a cocoon for birthing creativity, right? You need that quiet space to let the ideas ferment and come to fruition as they are meant to. So my preference for quiet, actually, for being quiet, helps me to be more creative. Awesome. Did I answer the question?
So you think maybe one of your biggest assets of introversion is your creativity, which manifests through quiet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we are very creative
people. It's the creativity. for sure. Yeah, it's the creativity and also the ability to shut everything out and hyper-focus, right? That's one of the talents or qualities, traits that helped me be able to finish the book, right? Because I was able to sit down and just like literally block everything out in the quiet and focus and get the manuscript done.
Okay. And you also mentioned, so since you brought it up, autism, ADHD, and introversion. And I would say, where's the superpower in all that? Because I feel like that's a combination that's like a superpower. Do you have anything to add on that?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many superpowers. Like I said, definitely the hyper-focus.
Yeah.
Definitely the ability to see things differently. And therefore, you know, since I'm a writer, phrase things differently than a lot of other people might, right? So again, it does tie back into creativity, into how you express yourself, into how you see things, like your divergence, your difference is the superpower. Even though, you know, I guess neuronormative society might see you as different in a bad way, I see the differences as being a positive and definitely as being superpowers.
I love that. Yeah. Love that so much. And that you're such a champion. So let's jump to the book. So as I read in your bio, and as I did have a sneak peek of your book, thank you for that. I don't know how common soft life is. Can you explain what the soft life is and why we women need to be thinking about and striving for the soft life? What is that?
So I see the soft life as the opposite of hustle culture, the antithesis of it. You know, a lot of us are tied up. We are trained and conditioned to keep going, keep producing, keep working constantly, often to the point of exhaustion and to the point where we're not actually, if we're being honest, even enjoying our life. To me, soft life or soft living is the opposite of that. Being able to take a breath, to slow down, to care for ourselves, to nurture ourselves and each other, and maybe, you know, step off of that treadmill of hustle culture, step off of the treadmill and basically reject the expectation that all we are, that our only value lies in what we produce. I do not believe that. I think that there is so much value in being able to go at a less frenetic pace, be able to actually sit with your thoughts and let your creativity and let your creativity express itself, not solely in a way that needs to be monetized, but just create for the sake of creating, for example. And, you know, there are health impacts as well for being caught up in hustle culture and not getting enough rest. And so soft living is also about embracing relaxation, meditation, mindfulness, and rest.
And, you know, I think that, so first of all, I'm a proponent of that, too. I'm with it. I get it, girl. But, you know, I also see when you talk about hustle culture, I'm going to draw parallels to introversion. I feel like the soft life will be seen as a less than, kind of in the way that introversion is seen as less than. And I could see the people promoting the hustle culture saying that's lazy or that's, you know, that's not how you're going to get out here and make this money. This is how you're not going to be, you know, that's how you won't be as successful. And I love that you are combating that because I do think that's what the critics would say. And what would you say to them?
I say that rest is the new success. That's what I say. We have to redefine success and what it really means. Success is not only about collecting and purchasing all the things. It is not only about taking all the trips. It is not only about materialism. And those, don't get me wrong, no judgment. Those things have their place, right?
Yes.
But there is something to be said for the opposite, right? And so people who criticize soft living and who criticize going slower, my question to them is like, why does the thought of going slower make you so uncomfortable? Right? My question to them is, are you living according to your definition of success or society's definition of success? Because those, if you're honest with yourself, they might be, they could be the same, but they might actually be completely different. Like, yes. I have no desire or ambition. You know, we see these stories about people, you know, like in their hospital beds just before surgery, you know, taking a call on a conference call, you know, sending emails and whatever. I have no desire to do that. Mm-hmm. None. And I don't believe it is healthy. So is that being successful? Or is it a case of, oh, actually, if I am having surgery, if I am, you know, birthing a child, right? Should it not be that my focus is on fulfilling this big rite of passage in life, mm-hmm. and focusing on the birth as opposed to focusing on email?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it really is about redefining success for yourself.
I love that. And being present and being in the moment and actually absorbing all that is happening in that process before you're giving birth or whatever. Yeah, I get it. And, you know, I also want to talk about the capes. So let's talk a little bit about the superhero capes. Of course, for those who haven't read your book yet, who haven't seen your book.
Yeah. So Dr. Cheryl Wood-Zikombe created what is called the Superwoman schema, which basically is talking about how Black women especially feel obligated. They either are expected to, or they feel obligated to basically show up as superwomen and be on all the time, be strong all the time, just keep working and giving and producing, you know, during all the shifts, you know, shift one, if you have a 9-to-5, during the first shift, during the second shift when, you know, the after school or whatever it happens to be, during the third shift of, you know, family time, dealing maybe with other people who are dependent on you, and just constantly being on and being expecting to give. And so it's almost like we're supposed to be a superhero. We're expected to have superhuman capacity to be able to just keep giving and doing and performing without rest. And I say, take that superhero cape all the way off, because the superhero cape in this sense is what is literally killing some of us, right? And those of us who is not actually killing, frankly, it is adversely impacting our health, high blood pressure, stress, mental health impact, and the like. So I say burn the cape and get some rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we know where that came from?
Superhero cape?
Yeah, the expectation that we are always on and we solve the problems and we fix everything and we work longer and she'll stay, Jerry will handle it, Lisa will handle it. You know, where did that, do we know where that comes from?
I think it goes back, frankly, to slavery,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, as do many things, unfortunately, in, you know, like a, you know, kind of like post-colonial, post-enslavement mm-hmm. society, mm-hmm. right? So I think it goes back to the period of enslavement where that is what was expected of us and we had no choice.
Yeah.
So we had to get up and, you know, at a crack of dawn or probably earlier and work in the fields and work in the hot sun without rest. We had to not only attempt to maybe, I'm saying we, you know, our ancestors, right? You know, not only care for their own children, but also the children and the progeny of their owners.
Right.
And just keep doing and performing and giving relentlessly without a break. And I think that has carried through
mm-hmm.
Up until now. A lot of Black women in professional spaces find themselves almost becoming, you know, like the teen mom, for lack of a, which is unfortunate, right? Where they're expected to not only do their job, but also do all of the other non-promotable tasks.
Yes. You know,
so, right?
Yes.
plan the events and plan the birthdays mm-hmm. and all those ancillary things that, frankly, a lot of the men and or a lot of people who are not melanated are not expected to do, but we are.
Yeah.
And so I think its origin is in the period of enslavement. And it just never left.
Yeah.
It just keeps like morphing into different forms, but it's the same thing.
Yes. Now, you're going to talk about this in the book. So tell us about the book and what listeners need to know so that they can go out and purchase it.
Okay. So the book is, as you mentioned before, it's called Space to Exhale. It is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all retailers. And More information can be found at spacetoexhalebook.com. Yeah, and so the book really, like you've mentioned, it is about soft living. It is about taking a gentler approach to life, and it is designed for anybody who is just tired of being tired and is ready to get some rest. Mm. It is part of my purpose, I believe, here on this earth. I'm just doing my little part, right? You know, to advocate on behalf of the quiet ones, like you and myself, on behalf of introverts, and also behalf of the ones who are exhausted and want to live a softer, more centered, more fulfilling life.
And you'll walk us through how to get there.
And that is the plan.
Okay.
Right? I will. It is it is in three sections. Know yourself, love yourself, be yourself. Mm. Every chapter starts with an invocation or a prayer to sort of set the mood and the vibe for the chapter. And then at the end of each chapter, there are breathwork exercises, of course, with a name like Space to Exhale. Mm-hmm. So there are breathwork exercises, meditations, affirmations, journaling prompts, all of it. So it is just meant to be like a healing container in book form.
This will be great for book clubs and just groups and taking it and using it sort of as a workbook, you know, something that each of the members try to complete together. I can't wait to see
yeah.
it. And so is there any advice that you could give here to our listeners about getting to the soft life or about the capes or about introversion? Any piece of advice that you could give any of those groups?
Definitely. For introverts, I would definitely say stop trying to fit in as much and honor yourself. It is okay to honor yourself, honor your introversion, and not feel obligated to essentially pretend to mask and code switch and pretend to be an extrovert. It is okay to be yourself and just take little steps. If it feels difficult, just take little steps day by day, like make small decisions that support your goal in being more true to yourself. You don't have to make a 180 degree change in one day, but gradually start advocating for yourself more and being more true to yourself. So it could be as simple as just deciding not, like for me, for example, I don't attend what I call the unhappy hours, the happy hours at work.
That's cute.
Right.
Right. They
yeah,
are
they
unhappy.
Don't work for me.
I don't like
they
them either,
so
Lisa.
Unhappy.
It's so annoying. Why do I have to go?
Right.
I'm spending 8 or 9 hours with you in the day. Then you're going to make me come and hang out with you in the evening. I hang out with my friends. Because the thing is,
yes.
I'm so sorry I'm inserting myself in this, but I have
no,
to
this
say
is great.
This. Because you're still
yes.
on. That's the thing. When you're at work,
yes.
you're on. You turn on or you put on that cape. So you're a different version of yourself. And then when you go home
exactly.
and take off the cape, that's when you want to hang with that one friend or may want to have a cocktail
mm-hmm.
with them. But it is like an expectation that you have to come to these work dinners and work parties and happy hours and all of these things. Everybody doesn't like that or want that.
Yeah. You know, let's be done with it. And you know, on top of that, apart from the introversion, I don't even drink. Right.
Okay.
And so drink alcohol,
so,
that is to say.
Yeah.
And so the pressure.
Mm.
I remember once going out to, it was actually my birthday and, you know, like being pressured into drinking alcohol, which I didn't, you know, give into the pressure.
Good.
Because everybody felt more comfortable. I'm like, but isn't it my birthday? Like, don't I get
to choose?
Don't I get to not drink alcohol on
right.
my birthday?
Right.
So I don't even want to deal with all of that. And so I just absent myself. So it could be a decision as simple as that and just do it, you know, one event or one decision at a time. And then in terms of soft living, same thing. It does not have to be 180 degree and instant change,
mm-hmm.
right? Just, for example, in the middle of your day, set aside 10 minutes to do some breathing or some meditation or to, I don't know, I love skincare. So like maybe you do a beautiful skincare routine that involves, you know, like a nice face massage or something to nurture and spoil yourself a bit and just like extend that. So you start with one thing for 15 minutes and just do more and more and more as you feel comfortable.
So how can people find out more about you and the book, or how can people follow you?
Okay, so thank you for asking that. So about the book, I have a tiny, beautiful book website that is space2exhalebook.com. And then, you know, I'm on all these social media platforms. So I am on LinkedIn, you know, just search me, you know, Lisa Hurley on LinkedIn. On Instagram, my handle is TheLisaHurley. So that's where people can find me. And on TikTok, I'm TheLisaHurley as well. And there's lots of very relaxing affirmations on my TikTok channel that people can enjoy. So
that's all we have for today. Thank you, Lisa Hurley Queen, for joining us. And we look forward to reading your book when it comes out.
Okay, thanks so much, Jerry.
Enjoying Hush Loudly? Please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to us. Did you know Hush Loudly has t-shirts? Yep, show the world you're an introvert without saying a word. We also have t-shirts for the extroverts in our lives who need us. Go to hushloudly.com/shop.